ready, Council?
Mr. Mayor, we are ready to proceed.
And I call to order this special call meeting of Simpsonville City Council. Administrator Grace Lee, will you call the roll, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Gooch. Councilmember Root. Councilmember Houlihan.
Here.
Councilmember Rocher. Councilmember Cummings.
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker.
Here. All rise and join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The only item of business on the agenda for this special call meeting is a hearing to permanently revoke the business license of 85 Tobacco and Vapor located at 15 Grandview Tally Court, Suite D, Simpsonville, South Carolina, 29680, pursuant to Section 10-56 of the Simpsonville Code of Ordinances. This time, I'll turn it over to City Attorney Daniel Bruce.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council, it's a pleasure to be here this evening. This evening, we had a hearing before you today to revoke the business license of a business known as 85 Tobacco and Vapor, located at 15 Ray East Tally Court, Suite D in Simpsonville. The business is being represented this evening by Will McKibben of the Greenville County Bar. His client is apparently on their way. They're arriving momentarily. I've talked to Mr. McKibben before the proceeding began. We have a stipulation that we want to present to Mayor and Council, but before we do that, I wanted to present you with a brief background of why we're here and then move to the stipulation, and then Mr. McKibben is going to have some things that he wants to say on behalf of his client. So we are here today pursuant to Section 1055 and 1056 of the Simpsonville Malden Code of Ordinances. Section 1055 provides certain basis that the city can move forward to suspend or revoke a business license. And there are six areas that are covered by Section 1055.
We can pause for just a moment, Councilor.
Sure.
Administrator Grace Lee, will you amend the record to show that Councilmember Gooch has arrived and I believe your clients have arrived, is this correct? But he's the client, the owners of 85 Tobacco?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All right, you can proceed.
The applicable sections of 1055 that apply based on the license official's determination that the license should be suspended are under 1055-4, which involves the unlawful sale of merchandise or prohibited goods, and Section 6 of 1055, which is when a licensee is delinquent in the payment to the municipality of any tax or fee. The stipulation that we're going to present to you this evening is that the business is going to stipulate that they are in violation of those two provisions of the code. 1056 of the Simpsonville Code of Ordinances provides that the person who is suspended has a right to a hearing, and this evening we are here for a hearing on a proposed revocation. Faith Scruggs, the business license official for the city of Simpsonville, issued a notice of suspension on December 12th of 2022. That notice of suspension was hand-delivered to the business owner, Mr. Muhammad Atari. It was also delivered by certified mail and delivered on December the 16th. Subsequent to receiving the business license revocation, Mr. Atari appeared before Ms. Scruggs at the business license office and did pay his delinquent license fee. The first area I want to cover is in presentation of the facts that you're going to hear this evening is that as of May 1st of 2022, the business became delinquent. They received three notices on February the 7th, April 24th, and May 20th of 2022 that they were delinquent, the last one being delinquent, the first two as a notice that they needed to come pay their license. The notice on May 20th indicated they were delinquent. On June 28th, they received an invoice from the city to pay the business license. On November 30th of this year, they received a second invoice And finally, upon receiving the notice of suspension, they appeared at the before Ms. Scruggs and paid their business license in full. So as of that date, their business license had been paid in full. The other basis of the case is much more substantial or substantive. It involves approximately 2 years of unlawful sale of products to underage children. We have a number of incidents that we would be presenting on the record this evening that from December 21 of 2020 until August 15th of 2022, there are approximately 10 violations of South Carolina Code Section 16-17500. That code section provides that it is illegal for a licensee to, or a business owner to sell tobacco products to a person under the age of 18. That's state law. The federal law under 18 is the federal law under, I'm sorry, state law is 18, federal law is under age 21. That section also provides that it is the responsibility of the retail establishment to train their employees regarding the unlawful distribution of tobacco products. And it is their authority, their obligation to make sure that their employees are following state law and making sure they're asking for appropriate identification when the person presents to come and buy products. A large majority of these cases were all compliance checks conducted by Investigator Donnelly. Donnelly runs most of the EUDL checks for the city of Simpsonville, and he used confidential informants under the age of 18 to go into the store and make buys. And most of these buys were done without the business ever asking for identification. Based upon my conversation with Mr. McKibben earlier today, 85 Tobacco and Vapor is willing to stipulate that they have violated both provisions of sections 1055, which is they are delinquent their business license, and also involved in the unlawful sale of merchandise or prohibited goods. I failed to mention that all of those cases that I went over with you, they were either pled guilty by the person ticketed or they were found guilty by the court. So all those cases are resolved in the city's favor. And Mr. McKibben is willing to stipulate that they are in violation, and Mr. McKibben would like to present mitigating circumstances and ask council for their consideration of an agreement whereby the city and the licensee would have an agreement whereby they are in a probationary status with the city. And I'll allow him to present what his idea of how that would look. But the city would then be allowed, based on that agreement, to immediately revoke their license if they perform any other violations in the future. That's the one option you have. The other option would be that you decide tonight to permanently revoke the license and that end the matter. So that's all I have at this time, and I'll allow Mr. McKibben to present any information on behalf of his client.
Thank you, Daniel. Good evening, council members, mayor. Please, the council. I am Will McKibben. I'm here on behalf of Mr. Atari, who is seated right here, and Mr. Matassin, is it Donnelly?
Dalem.
Who is seated right here. Mr. Dalem is the manager of the particular vape shop that we are here about today. Mr. Atari is the owner. They are cousins. Mr. Atari flew in last night. He lives in his home country of Egypt. He lived here a few years back and got married, and they had a child, and they moved back home to Egypt. He has another child there, and they plan on being there for quite some time. And so when he left, he had owned this shop. He asked his cousin Matassin, that's his first name, if he would be interested in running the shop. And his answer was yes. And so he has been running it since that time. As you heard Mr. Hughes recite the facts, 100% undisputed and agreed upon. I want to make sure we understand that and that you understand that, and that stipulation is accurately stated. I am here on behalf of Mr. Atari and Ms. Hossam to ask that council allow the store to continue to operate under very, very strict circumstances and very strict regulation, and I'm going to explain why. Ms. Hossam has owned and run two vape shops in Greenwood since late 2019, 2020. And we were in my office just earlier. In fact, they left my office for me. They were not late intentionally, I can promise you. I must have known a little bit of a shortcut, but we were here. I'm sorry they were just a few moments late. He has never had a single infraction, not one. And of course, the reason that that's important is very easy to think when you're considering infractions of a business or against any ordinance of sort of the, who's the bad guy here? Mr. Atari is, he knows as the owner that the buck would stop with him. He lives in Egypt, and he has given the authority to Ms. Hossam to run the place. Mr. Hossam knows that as the manager, the buck stops with him to run the place. And yet there were these violations. There's two things that I would ask council to consider in this matter, really three. One is Mr. Hossam as a business person and what he's been doing these last couple of years. Two, what measures he took in these situations of being cited. And three, what he could be doing in the future and what we would propose that would hopefully be satisfactory to council under very limited circumstances. As I said, Ms. Hossam has run two of these successfully and without a single infraction in Greenwood since late 2019, 2020. And of course, the reason that I believe that's very important for you to consider is going back to the who's the bad guy. Running things according to the law and within the bounds of the law is very important to him. This is his business. This is the only business he does. He would like to own more. He's been able to run the ones in Greenwood fine. And here's the thing. It's because he's almost always there. And he has not almost always been here. There's a saying in restaurants, of course, that if the owner or the manager's not there, it's going to be, you know, bankrupt in 6 months. People steal from you and whatever else. And maybe it's the kind of the same thing we're looking at here. There's not been an authoritative manager on site every single day like maybe there should have. There are cameras, which he tries and has tried to monitor, but he's not been there. He runs the books, he runs the inventory, he checks in. And when people have violated, he has fired them. He has fired three of the violators that he recalls specifically after first violations. He allowed two to stay under strict rules of if any of them ever got in trouble again, that they would be immediately fired. But he has taken those remedial steps in the past. They obviously didn't fix the problem because there were more. And we understand that, and he understands that. And I would venture to say, since we have the data that we do regarding Greenwood and the success there, that if Mr. Matoson were here running his shop day in and day out, the same thing would be true. I believe he exercised all his best judgment in hiring people, but, you know, let's face it, who is he hiring for clerks? I mean, these are younger folks. Again, maybe it's a when the cat's away, the mice will play type of thing. Mr. Atari, they both agree with me. If it were to continue like that, this same problem will continue. And there's no reason why the business should be able to operate. We would like another chance. We would like another chance in a probationary status where if there were another violation of this, that there would be an immediate revocation. And the remedial steps that we would intend to take would be if Mr. Matassem is not present and running that shot, because he does have three to run, but not present and running it in that authoritative position, that there will be a designated authoritative manager running that shop, where there will not be a single person that comes in there to purchase a product, regardless of how old they look, that is not carded, and no one underage sold a product that they are not lawfully allowed to buy. I would normally suggest, particularly if I were in the position that you were, that violations at this number just shouldn't matter. Forget it. They should be gone. I plead to council to consider these mitigating circumstances, that this young man who is building a business for his family has not taken that length of a step that he needs to take. Felt that firing people, if he could keep hiring people and find the right people to be loyal and follow the rules and these sorts of things, it would work out. It clearly has not. And so I'm here, again, at the mercy of council to plead for them to have one more opportunity for one and only one mistake to allow him to appropriately manage this store the way he has successfully done for 2.5 years in Greenwood. And that's our position, honorable council members. Of course, Matassem or Mr. Attari would be more than delighted to answer anything that you all have, anything that the council for the city has. I don't have any plans for testimony under oath, but of course we'll do anything that the council desires. Thank you.
Attorney Hughes, is there anything you want to add?
A couple things. I would like to have the opportunity to you hear from Investigator Donnelly before we make a decision. Investigator Donnelly has been in charge of all the compliance checks for the city and is most familiar with the business and the issues that arise. I think council deserves to hear from him before we make an ultimate decision. If you are willing to, the other thing I would say is if you're willing to consider an agreement, what I would recommend to you is that I would need to work with Mr. McKibben on an acceptable agreement and present that to you for consideration at the next regularly scheduled meeting. And during that interim time, they would still remain under suspension. Of course, the other option is if you revoke it, then I would need to draft a written decision that you would also need to consider at the next regularly scheduled meeting. Either way, a final decision, whether it be a final decision or an agreement, would not be reached until the next time where you come together as a body so that you can approve it. Because if it's an agreement, the point I'm trying to make, the agreement needs to be well vetted, and it would need to be well thought through and something that you're agreeable or satisfied with before we enter into it. So I don't want us to really negotiate terms this evening, if that's something you, but if you direct me to negotiate with Mr. McKibben, I'm happy to do that.
Inspector Donnelly? Mr. McKibben, if you would hand him your microphone.
Why, sir. That's wireless.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, council members, good evening. My name is Jim Donnelly. I'm with the police department. I've been an investigator there. I've been employed here for 23 years. I've been an investigator for 15 of which. The last 2.5 years, I've been doing these compliance checks throughout the entire city to include alcohol, tobacco, that kind of thing. We have approximately 5 or 6 tobacco places in town, including 85 Tobacco and Vape. In those 2.5 years, I've only had violations from 85 Tobacco and Vape. They've had a year and a half. Every time I've had a violation in this town, in this store, I've asked to speak with the manager. I've left my card. Ask him to contact me so we can mitigate and try and help educate, which is what we're supposed to do, and never got a response. They hired an attorney at one time who came here, and I spoke with him, and he went to the store, and he never showed back up again. So I made every effort I could to try to help 85 Tobacco and Vape meet their goals and stay in compliance with what they're supposed to do, which is my job. Okay, and I've gotten no response whatsoever. Every complaint we've ever had about children vaping from the schools, every complaint I've had has been from 85 Tobacco and Vape. And then there's at least 5 in the last 2 years. I don't know what else to say. I think it's a quality of life issue at my point. And I just, they had a year and a half to comply. And now all of a sudden they want to comply. I mean, they've had a year and a half to get it right. Every other store does it right. Every other store gets it right. We don't have any violations from any of them. So I don't know what else to tell you. I feel like it's a quality of life issue. I would love to have been working with them a year ago that they just reached out to me. I would love to help them get them in compliance, but they never reached out to me. So that's all I have. That's all I really have to say to you.
Does council have any questions for Mr. Investigator? I have one.
Yes, sir.
When you send in a CI to a tobacco or vape shop and they get carded and come back out empty-handed, does the person inside that vape shop or the owner get a pat on the back, job well done, or do they ever know that you were there?
Most of the time they don't know we were even there.
So we have no way of knowing, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, there's no way of knowing of how diligent Greenwood is in doing their inspection.
I can't speak for Greenwood. I can tell you that we do inspection on a regular basis, very routine, and very frequent.
So lack of violations there could be a lack of checking.
Correct.
Thank you. Anything else for Councilman Houlihan?
I just want to clarify. So Mr. Hughes said that there were some 10 violations over a period of 2 years, December 2022, I think August 22. And you said when those violations occurred, you let them know.
I do.
You left your information there, asked them to reach out and contact you, and you received no contact other than one time from a lawyer who showed up here.
Who showed up here for court and then basically told the guys to take the educational class and plead guilty, take the educational class and move on.
Okay, thank you.
And he was going to go to the store and speak to them, and I don't think he ever made contact with them.
Thanks.
Anything else for Inspector Donovan?
I have a question I'm not sure who to direct you to. How long has 85 Tobacco Vapor been in business in Simpsonville?
I don't know. Sorry,
2019, I believe.
2019.
Miss Scruggs is here too. She's our license official. She's verified that.
May I ask one question of clarification? With regard to the attorney that you were speaking of, am I correct? That was an attorney that was representing one of the clerks who violated it.
Who told me that he was hired by the manager.
Okay, I was here for criminal city court, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that we knew it wasn't the council. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Councilman Cummings.
Attorney Hughes, were all the 10 violations, clarification on the violations, were all the 10 violations from underage children, or were some of those from, if they just didn't ask for ID?
Those were all, if they were, I have to verify that, if they were CIs involved, they were underage of 18, it would have been sales to children. And I'd have to go back and look and verify with each one, but I would say at least 85% of those were to sales to the CIs, because Officer Donnelly conducted most of all the compliance checks, and he only uses under age 18.
All right. Anything else, Inspector Collins? Thank you, Inspector.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Hughes. Anything further from the city?
It's nothing from the city, and we would just be looking for direction from council on how they want us to proceed.
All right. Thank you. Motion is in order.
Mayor and Council, I'm going to move to revoke the business license of 85 Tobacco and Vapor and direct the city attorney to prepare an order of revocation to be considered by council at a special call meeting on January 24th, 2022.
I have a motion from Councilmember Houlihan with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Councilmember Richards.
Okay. Thank you for being here. Of course, I appreciate that you come so far. It tells me that you are trying to take this seriously. I do appreciate that. I've got some questions. Mr. McKibben, do your clients really understand the serious nature of selling these things to underage minors and why we don't do that? Why we're so worried about this?
Oh, Your Honor, I believe that if counsel desired to hear from my clients, I know that they would love to tell you that they do indeed, particularly as parents. All I have heard from them since they began working with me in December was their remorse for it happening in the first place. And I can promise you all, I grilled Mr. Matassum as much as anyone could of, well, why does it happen? Because these laws are here for a very, very real reason. This is dangerous stuff. We have the laws in place. 18 is a very important age. Again, from my perspective, I believe it's a situation where it's been a pure lack of oversight. One that I believe could still be rectified. I believe that Mr. Atari would not have left his wife and children in Egypt to be here if he didn't believe in his cousin's ability to rectify it and the ability to have the right kind of people in there to be the kind of business that Simpsonville wants, rather than be somebody that Mr. Donald's had to respond to.
This goes back fairly deep. We're looking at a couple of years of just refusing to pay, having to be chased, making it difficult. Why should the city be responsible for being the accountability partner in this situation?
That's a very well-placed question, and the city has absolutely zero obligation to be an accountability partner. That's the reality. And my clients do not desire to escape. We wouldn't be here. They would have accepted the revocation. I only have these folks.
And I really appreciate that you come. It tells me you're taking ownership, and that speaks volumes. I appreciate that. I may be the only one up here. I don't know. I do struggle with this, because I hate to take away somebody's business. You screwed up royally. I think you see that. I think your client sees that. You're saying as much. Tell me again what they're going to do to be accountable and to make this right. Help me understand that again, please.
Matassum, who has managed the Greenwood stores, and Mr. Mayor, I think that was a bit of a, I wish I had the answer to your question about Greenwood compliance. I don't know the answer to that. I'd love to be able to sit here and tell you they'd do a whole lot more in Simpsonville. Maybe that'd be helpful to their case. But the answer, Councilman Gooch, is this. Matassum will be either present at the store during business hours or a person who is employed as a store manager. What I was hoping in terms of the council's consideration of this request and being the one and only is I truly believe it is and has been a situation of cats away, mice will play, and that whoever has been head clerk or otherwise there, Mr. Matassum may have placed a little too much trust and maybe just felt like things were being taken care of for too long and they weren't. And if it's too little too late, that's terrible. But one of the two would be there and be there 100% of opening hours. And what we were hoping today was that the council would consider, you get one infraction, it's a permanent revocation, end of story. So I go on. I'm sorry, Mr. Councilman.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I can't read my chicken scratch. I think I've got one more. That covers it for now.
Councilman Cummings?
like Councilman Gooch, I'm kind of, I struggle with the idea of the revocation for the part of me that has compassion for that piece. But then I look at the facts that are presented, and I consider a worst-case scenario to say, if we were to say that a certain manager had to be on duty all the time, obviously we have several businesses, I don't know the number of businesses, but Officer Donnelly, we can't control or have somebody out there every time to see who is, you know, managing, you know, the operation. The other thing is, you know, let's say there is another violation that happens that we don't know about, and it gets back to the city that it was a 17-year-old who, you know, decides to, you know, were able to buy or purchase, and they get hospitalized. To me, that would be a stain on our part for allowing the business that we already had these violations to continue to be in operation when we knew about an unfortunate pattern. And I'm not necessarily placing blame on whoever it was, just stating the facts. So that's the difficult part to me. The delinquency is one issue, and that's a whole separate issue. The 10 violations, the multiple attempts by an officer to attempt to get ownership management to call back, to me, precedes, you know, this part of the conversation, and almost answers the question of the importance, because they were given 10 other opportunities to somewhat try to make this right before we got to this point. So that's kind of where I'm struggling right for this moment. That's all.
Councilmember Pulliam.
A question. Where does Mr. Matossum live?
Mr. Matossum lives here now. I don't know precisely where.
I just live in Greenwood. I guess I'm all day about 2 months. I guess most of you are in Greenwood.
Greer?
Yeah.
2 months ago.
I was in Greenwood. 2 years.
So, I mean, along with my colleagues, I struggle with revoking somebody's business license. You're potentially taking away somebody's livelihood, the money that they use to spend on their families. But to a point that Mr. Cummings made, and something I was trying to get to with the questioning, we've been chasing you down for the money for the business license. We've been chasing you down about trying to get this situation with the selling to underage CIs under control. I believe the city has made every effort at this point to try to rectify the situation. So I don't understand at what point, 10, you know, 2 years, at what point do we say, no, you haven't done it. You know, we tried, we gave it our best effort. I can't get past that number of infractions. It's not the first infraction, it's all these violations. And, you know, I used to work as a waitress, and you can't sell alcohol to minors, you can't sell under 21. We didn't always have a manager on site, but they sure made it clear to us that there was no way in which we should be doing that, and if we did, we would immediately be terminated. We didn't do it because we didn't want to be terminated. I understand that you can't control every single thing. I think, you know, having a manager on site probably would improve the situation, but it would have improved the situation in 2021. So, that's where I'm at, and I'm still in favor of the revocation.
Further discussion?
Councilmember Hutchings. I just want to say that I believe that in essence, we've been under a probationary period for a while now, since we've allowed this many violations. Well, I don't see when an agreement would really matter. question for Mr. Hughes, if this motion fails, will do revocation then not happen, the current motion before council, if it fails?
That's correct. So you could, if you didn't approve it, then that would fail. Another motion could be made. They've already agreed to enter an agreement. That would be the secondary motion that would have to be considered.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, on the motion to revoke the business license of 85 Tobacco and Vapor and direct the city attorney to prepare an order of revocation to be considered by council at a special call meeting on January 24th, 2022. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. That concludes our business for this special call meeting of city council. And without objection, we stand adjourned.